Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha is Bahar, meaning on the mountain, and Bachotai, in my statutes. It's a double parasha and brings us to the conclusion of the book of Leviticus. We'll be covering chapters 25 through 27. In chapter 25, the sabbatical year is discussed as well as the Jubilee. In chapter 26, outlines the blessing for obedience and punishments for disobedience. This is where we will spend our time this week in the parasha. Those blessings and curses depended on whether or not Israel would keep the covenant that Almighty God gave his people. In chapter 26, the word if occurs 9 times in relation to the Jewish people, occupying and having abundance in the land of Israel. The blessings were conditional. God says, if you will do this, then I will bless you with these things. Things like rain when it was needed, abundant crops, a rich harvest, protection from their enemies, as well as making the Israelis numerous and fruitful. In fact, in verse 11, God says, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. Rabbi Paul quotes this verse in 2 Corinthians 6:16 when he describes the privileged place of Yeshua's followers as his temple. The Lord's own presence among his people is the guarantee of the reward for obedience. Historically, there have been times when the Jewish people did follow God, and we can see how God blessed them greatly. Their faith was strong. On the other hand, both history and the Word of God shows us that most of the time, Israel did not follow God. And this also meant that the rest of the world didn't follow or know God either, but their time would come. In verse 14 and 16, we see 3 of these if statements. If you reject my covenant, if you refuse to hear and to do, and if you despise and reject my statutes, judgment will be on your land. God lists 5 stages of this judgment. The first stage would be the removal of the blessing as described in verses 4 through 7 and would include defeat in battle. The second stage, if they had not listened, would include famine and drought. Their pride would be replaced with humility, and God said it would be sevenfold, not meaning 7 times, but rather that their humiliation would be thorough and complete until such time as they repent. The third stage would include being overrun by wild beasts. The fourth stage would bring war, pestilence, and again, lack of food. The fifth stage would be our people's exile from the land. This exile would also provide the land an opportunity to have its own rest and once again be holy to God, since the land in which God would dwell with his people must be holy. This played out clearly in the exile of Israel in the north in 722 B.C. and for the south in 586 B.C. For nearly 500 years, Israel neglected to give the land its Sabbath. That meant the land missed 70 sabbatical years. The Israelis failed to heal God's requirement, and Adonai finally had enough. So the 3-in-1 God sent the Jewish people out of the land for 70 years. 2 Chronicles 36:21 makes the connection between the set number of years, the Babylonian exile, and the years of our neglect to honor the sabbatical year. Brothers and sisters, this shows us who is in charge, and it isn't us. It is the one who created us, and all that we see in the earth or the sea or the sky, none other than El Gabor, the mighty God. Now, Israel's past failings will not negate the fact that God deeded to the land to the Jewish people forever. He is not a promise breaker. He is a promise keeper. This is a remarkable prophecy which shows that Adonai can and restore and deliver his people. There are some people who see only the curses that God put on the nation and claim that God is finished with the Jewish people. This was the foolish thinking of the Babylonians. But 70 years later, the Jewish people did return to the land. Though they were removed a second time around 135 AD, the nation was once again established in 1948. But beyond the outworking of history, Romans chapters 9 through 11 clearly teaches us that Adonai is not finished with his chosen people, the Jewish nation. Verses 40 through 46 of chapter 26 show that the repentance would bring hope, and that if Israel would return to God and forsake their disobedience, there would be forgiveness and blessing. God, in his glorious grace, would reinstate the blessings that he promised the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This demonstrates the unilateral nature of God's covenant with Israel. Despite the punishment of the nation, including the dispersion of the Jewish people, God promises that he will neither reject nor destroy them, but rather discipline them as a father would with his own children. God can look down through the ages and see our repeated failures, but his faithfulness is what brings the final victory. So, brothers and sisters, remember that the Lord tells us that if we follow and glorify him, he will in turn bless us. But if we disobey him, we will be punished accordingly. Repentance is needed. Let's remember that even when he disciplines us, he still loves us. And when we repent from our transgressions against him, he always restores us. What an incredible gift of grace that is. Speaking of grace, I'm reminded that in John 1:17, the inspired writer says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yeshua." Moses may have delivered the words that God gave him and acted as Israel's mediator for a time, but the true and final mediator between God and mankind is Yeshua, the Messiah. And speaking of his discipline and repentance, I am also reminded of what Jeremiah wrote. "Heal me and I will be healed. Save me and I will be saved, for you are my praise." We just did a bunch of praise and worship to the Lord a few minutes ago. The great prophet understood that the same Lord who at times reproves us is also the one who heals and saves us. And his name is Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen.